Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Jeremiah. D-Face, Pingin, and Donick. 102.5 The Game. People all over Nashville, join hands.
Startle up Nashville. It's the world. It's at least the state or the region, right? That's the goal.
Fair enough.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Let's go to our phone line, driven
people
by
all
Will
over the South.
People all well, there are a lot of football teams in the South.
But I would say you could work the South into the lyric, right? It would flow.
Yeah. Well, we've got about a
month. I'll figure that out.
We've got about a month until the draft, so we have some time to workshop this. But let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, who is fueled by Parman Energy. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, how are you? How was the live taping of Talking with TD last week?
Oh, man, the live taping was great, man. MCD and A West, they did their thing, the local artists. Here's what's so dope about that, right? Tennessee Pimpin', you know that's a song we've been pushing and pushing and pushing. You know what they played at the Jersey reveal? Tennessee Pimpin'.
Very nice.
Man, I was so hype about that. But I want to say this. I thought I was coming on a segment for the Ville. Not the game, because, you know, I didn't hear Wu-Tang or Mobb Deep. I heard the OJs. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I on the right interview? What's going on?
Oh, man. He should have pre-warned you before that, TD.
Yeah, that's on me, TD.
It's all good. I was taught if I find myself at the end of the rope, tie a knot and hold on. So I was holding on, man.
So, Teron, we were just talking about the new uniforms since we weren't on the air on Friday. What were your thoughts on the new uniforms in the rollout last week?
Yeah, you know what, David and I were talking about that before I came on. And I tell you what, I love the all-white look, the Stormtroopers. Look, I think it's pretty cool that they had a little bit of that Navy in there. They paid homage to the Titans, you know, the Derek Mason and Eddie George, Steve McNair Titans, you know what I'm saying? And the Navy and the strings, the six strings on the stripe on the pants as well as the sleeve. I thought that was dope. The Navy stars under the underarm. I think it's an excellent, excellent rollout. I love everything they did. If one thing they could have done, I like the white helmet with red face mask, but I get what they were doing. They didn't want to be too Houston Oilers like, so it is what it is. But it's beautiful, man. That blue and that red, it comes together so nicely. I hate that I can't rock any of the gear just because of the colors, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, got to stay objective.
Teron, you and others reported over the weekend that Calvin Ridley is sticking around. He restructured his contract. What more can you tell us about the new structure of Ridley's deal?
Yeah, well, from what I understand, it took the cap number down just under $11 million for this year. There is a little bit pushed into next year, so it kind of is what it is. We'll see what happens next year with him and the team. But, I mean, it was more cap-friendly. I think both parties understand that it's best for them to remain in the same situation where Ridley has that great relationship with Cam Ward. And you know, the team itself, they are – not strong at receiver. And this is something that I've reported back in February, you know, from the combine, the fact that they didn't want to weaken a position that they were looking to strengthen, right? They want to have as many weapons for Cam Ward as possible. Calvin Ridley, although he's not the same as who he was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, is still a legitimate receiver. So it's a move they made to keep him around, and they saved some money in doing it.
Teron, after seemingly striking out on all of the notable centers in free agency, what is the Titans' plan at that position as of now?
Well, it looks like Austin Slotman is the guy, right? And, you know, he was someone that stepped in for John Michael Schmitz up there with the Giants. Carmen Brasillo is familiar with him, as is Brian Daboll. So it's just a part of the overarching theme that they've adopted with free agency, right? And it's always a crapshoot. You know what I mean? Not everybody's going to go to you know, from the Titans to the Ravens and lead the organization in receptions in history like Derek Mason did, right? You can't always project a free agent into your scheme accurately, but one thing that can make it go a lot better is projecting him into the same scheme he played in before, you know, and that's just basically what they have with Slotman. Obviously, Jackson Slater is going to be in the mix, but they want a veteran guy to be there to call the protections and do all those things. Slotman is 30 years old. He has 18 career starts, four last year, so he has some experience.
Now, TD, looking at their free agents, you know, they did a little bit on offense, but a lot of their damage was done on defense. Do you think, after looking at what they did in the back end, how do you rank this secondary, based on what they did? Do they become now a formidable secondary?
Yeah.
Matched up with a really good front line, which is going to make, you know, everything a lot better?
Yeah, I think so. It's always funny hearing Warren Sapp and Deion Sanders have that conversation. You know, the front end makes the back end, and the back end makes the front end, and they go back and forth. I think in this case, there's still a little bit more to be made in the front end, but the back end, as long as they stay healthy, that's the key part, because we know Amani Hooker hasn't gone through one season, you know, in five or so years, healthy, right, the full season. And Kevin Winston Jr., let's still see how he could do. I'm not going to call him injury prone yet. But that being said, you know, you have those two guys at safety. You got Alante Taylor. I believe he's going to play nickel. And then, you know, when they go into regular base formation or personnel, rather, they'll have he and Cordell Flott at the outside position, and Marcus Harris, Josh Williams, those guys will rotate in. So I think it's pretty deep. Even Michael Robinson as well. They're in good shape there. I'm not going to say it's one of those secondaries where as a receiver, I'd be like, oh, shoot, I ain't trying to face them. Mm-hmm. But it's still one of those secondaries. I'd be like, all right, you know, it's going to be a challenge. Let's have it.
Now, if the Titans choose not to draft a defensive player with that first overall pick, hopefully they draft Jeremiah Love. But if they choose not to do that, draft a defensive guy, based on what they have now, is a lot of what they're thinking, if they don't do that, is that Saleh can develop Femi in a way that he may not be the 15-sack guy, but he may be a valuable part of this rotation.
Yeah, I think it's believing that they could get it accomplished by committee, with the strength being the interior, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have an interior pass rush like Franklin Myers and Jeffrey Simmons, and then – let's not forget, Jeffrey Simmons will pop to the outside. You know, he'll play five, sometimes even, well, mostly five tech, you know what I mean, when he moves outside a bit. So that is something. They, in my opinion, it's always good to have that one guy that when it's third and long, it's like, oh, man, he's about to make something happen. And I think Jeffrey Simmons is that guy, but I'm talking about as an edge rusher. But I think they're going more that committee look and just like, hey, man, six guys that could score 20 points, you know, kind of like the old Warriors with Draymond and Klay Thompson and all them.
What do you think they do with Will Levis? Do you – obviously, you know, there's been rumors that they're looking to trade him, but do you think they will get back what they really want for Will Levis? Say if it's a fifth. I mean, they got a, what, sixth round for Malik Willis. Do you think they get better than that, if indeed they do move him, which it looks like they are?
Yeah, I think they could get better than what they did for Malik, because Levis has a year of starts under his belt. Now, granted, that year is like, woof. But at the same time, you know, he's a talented player, and he's a guy that has started. So I think he's going to get more. Here's the thing, right? What if they take and they package one of their fourth-round picks, right, with Will Levis, and they move back into the third and get Chris Bell? You know, or what if they do something along those lines, right, to just package them to move up and into a round? That's something that you could also see them do. And, I mean, if they could get Chris Bell, like manufacture a third-round pick and get Chris Bell. I don't know if you watched him, but, you know, you're talking about a guy that accelerates through the catch, big, strong, you know, 6'2", 6'3", 225, really, really good size and ability. So if you could manufacture a way to get him, that would be, you know, a plus. And you're getting Will Levis up out of there, so you have two quarterbacks as opposed to three.
Teron, you have a pretty good feel for the draft position by position. As you put it together, because we were talking to Trevor Maddich about this, but I would be curious about your perspective. What does the center position look like depth-wise? If you wanted to try to grab a guy in the mid-rounds to groom alongside of what they've got, maybe even a center-guard combination, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think you could get a guy later, like get the center from Indiana. Kentucky has a good center, too. Those are options. But, look, don't lose sight. You talk about guard center. Don't lose sight of the guy they drafted last year, and that's Jackson Slater. But, I mean, those two are two that I would mention. But this class really isn't that deep, right? And there aren't too many guys that will probably go in the first couple of days. So you have to look at day three and those guys that I mentioned.
What do you think is next for L'Jarius Sneed?
Good question. Maybe he ends up back in Kansas City. I don't know. I honestly couldn't say what's next. I'm surprised the Eagles didn't, you know, give him a call and see what's what. I know they signed Tariq Woolen, and, you know, they already have Kenyon Mitchell. But I could see a team like that. I wonder if the Giants, you know, take a look. Because, I mean, look, Denard Wilson likes L'Jarius Sneed. He just wasn't healthy for him. So that's an option, too.
What else should we be looking for? Because I know there traditionally is another round of players that will get cut June 1st. And, of course, after everybody evaluates what they get in the draft, maybe they reassess their roster. What other little things could fall the Titans' way that we should be on the lookout for in the next couple of months?
Well, I think you could always look at those linebackers. And it's a position that, you know, it doesn't necessarily get the value that some of the other ones do, like the running back position that's undervalued. And there are a bunch of guys in the draft. You always are able to get a linebacker, and they come in and they play well immediately, usually. So I could see, you know, some of the linebackers, even like in the Titans case, like Cody Barton could become available, you know, or even you look at some of the running backs, because it's pretty deep, and every year is deep in running back. So if a team decides, hey, I want to save X amount of money, I got this young guy, I think that he's going to come in and be okay, then they release the veteran. So you look at guys like Alvin Kamara. You look at Tony Pollard. Those are options. And obviously the Saints, you know, they signed Travis Etienne, so they're already in a situation where they're operating out of a surplus backs-wise.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Mace. Vin Gidendonik, he joins us every Monday, and he is fueled by Parmen Energy. Visit ParmenEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
I appreciate you guys. And go ahead, next time, go cue up that LL Cool J, you know.
I got you next time.
Thanks, TD.
I had the tape. Right, I had the cassette.
615-737-1025. A lot of you have reaction to what Derek and Willie said about the Titans' new uniforms. We will get to that coming up next. You can join in as well. That number again, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Right Time HVAC and Cromwell Media are teaming up to bring comfort back to your home. Is your heating system struggling or completely out of commission following the winter storms? Or do you need a fix to get you ready for summer or whatever the hell's happening outside today? Nominate yourself for the Right Time Home Rescue and tell us your story. Enter today at thegamenashville.com/HVAC, and you could win a new HVAC system installed by Right Time HVAC, locally owned and operated. There's never a wrong time to call Right Time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.